Good morning, New Mexico. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting from the Santa Fe Baking Company, streaming on the web at ksfr.org, podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services, and we're at facebook.com/radiocafe. Later on in the program, Rob DeWalt is going to be with us, speaking of the arts. I'm very happy now to welcome to the show Nick Kendall. He's a violinist with a group called Time for Three. They're a classically trained garage band, and they're going to be playing as part of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival tonight at the Lensic at 8 o'clock. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
It's great to be here. I love this setting.
And you're also going to be with music from Angel Fire, as we talked about with Ada Kavafian a few days ago, on Thursday, the 25th of August at 7 in the evening. It's a benefit for music from Angel Fire. So let's talk, I mean, classically trained garage band. We're going to have to play a bunch of different kinds of music because you and your two cohorts, Zach DePew and Renan Meyer, are basically doing something that kind of is genre busting. One plays violin, the other plays double bass. Your trio, what are you guys about? How did you start?
Well, I mean, I think classically trained garage band is because we all study classical music. That's our background. We went to a classical music conservatory where actually Ida Kavafian was our teacher. And garage band refers to kind of how we would put our stuff together, which was a lot of it was through jam sessions, improvisation, literally just building each piece up from the ground. All of our original material that Renan used to bring to us, these ideas, the three of us would be in a room and just, you know, literally have jam sessions and see what works. It's just like throwing ideas at a wall and seeing what sticks. So garage band is that kind of like just
process.
Jam it out, and then classically trained is, of course, very, you know, self-explanatory.
Now, not all classically trained musicians jam like that.
Well, not yet. We are seeing, like, when we were back in school, we were just talking now, we've been a band 11 years, we've been kind of breaking out into the scene in the last four or five, but back when we were students at Curtis, there weren't many people freestyling, improvising. There was some of it, but not many. We would do it after orchestra rehearsals, and it was a way for us just to release and get away from our standard repertoire, of which we love still dearly. But now you see such exciting things with young players. I mean, you have, you know, improvisers of all sorts, and not genre-specific either, ones who just are completely using their ears and connecting with their imagination, their musical voice. And it's so exciting to see. I mean, you know, from the classical side is one thing, but a lot of these new indie rock bands that have very incredible followings, a lot of them are classically trained.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's really cool to see. And a lot of our collaborations now and the interpretations of material from some of these bands is stuff that Time for Three is starting to do. And we're now able to bridge all worlds together in our shows, and it's exciting because we're, I think, reaching an audience that normally doesn't come to a classical music experience. Most of our concerts are us as soloists with a symphony orchestra, but we also do a whole live show, and we've added a band to us. But it's chamber music, and it's kind of demystifying what it is that these instruments are doing and what the possibilities are. I mean, you know, it's very exciting times for us, and it's great to be here at this festival. This festival is so respected in our world, and we're so honored to share the limelight with, I mean, our teachers, but some of the biggest names in classical music. And
the Chamber Music Festival is unbelievable.
It's totally awesome.
It's world class. Yeah. Let's hear a piece. We're going to hear a few things from Time for Three. This is what we're about to hear is Bach Double. Tell us about
that. Okay, so this is the Concerto for Two Violins. Obviously, Zach, the other violinist, and myself studied this. We've performed it as soloists. But at Curtis, one of the things that we would do just to horse around was see how fast each of us could play. We would literally race the first movement. And then Renan, when he sort of caught wind of our jam sessions, Renan comes from incredibly extensive jazz background. And in fact, before coming to Curtis, he was in New York playing in the jazz clubs with all the famous jazz artists. Came to Curtis as a classical bass player. he came in the middle of our arrangement and sort of was the referee. So you'll hear this. It's us playing the first movement by Johann Sebastian Bach, Concerto for Two Violins in D minor, really fast.
Now this is, it's kind of a, if I may say so, kind of a boy thing to do.
Completely. Totally immature and just, you know, not caring about anything except having a great time.
But did you, like, were you disqualified if anybody got a note wrong?
Well, God, that's a really good, you know what, I'm going to start doing that now. I think that just ups the ante. Play it fast, and you got to play it. No, it was just pure speed. I mean, you know, and it's so funny. We actually were rehearsing it once at Curtis, and Seymour Lipkin, who's an incredible pianist, and we were rehearsing in the concert hall at Curtis during the summer. We thought that no one was around, but he was actually preparing for his own recording session. So we had our backs to the stage, and we got done racing through our version of Bach Double, and we looked at him, and he was peering down at us with a face, and he said, "What the heck is that?" And we're like, we said, "Well, actually, this is the Bach Double." And he said, "It's too fast." But it winked at us, and that's the thing. I think so many of the faculty at Curtis have embraced what we do, and we feel very honored by that. But here, this is going to be the Concerto for Two Violins by Bach.
Let's hear it.
Concerto by Bach, Swan.
And we've just been listening to Bach Double, Concerto for Two Violins by Johann Sebastian Bach, played in a way that is...
Silly.
Non-standard.
Non-standard, but fun.
Exactly. So what are you going to be doing tonight at the Lenzic?
Well, tonight, we're kind of doing a whole, kind of the whole catalog of Time for Three. Everything from when we started, we're going to play, of course, Bach Double. I think it's in the set. We may play some other gypsy arrangements, stuff that, you know, we used to do. But we're also going to be sharing some of our earlier originals, brought to the table by Renan Meyer, our bass player, but arranged by all three of us. A lot of kind of the newest direction in which we're discovering we have an exciting way to go down is taking popular themes, taking themes of... a genre of music that we all love very much, a contemporary feel, that of rock bands, of pop artists, actually. And taking some of their melodies and kind of taking other classical, either like a bass line of a famous symphony or moments in a famous piece, kind of intertwining them together. It's been a very exciting thing for us because we see a lot of young audiences hooked in because they recognize the tune, but then introduced to music that they normally may not be introduced to in a kind of a new way. And it's not to replace anything, it's just what we're doing, and we really enjoy that experience of being able to kind of be in between two worlds.
So there's a song which I want to play also, Hide and Seek. Tell us
great.
About this.
I'm so happy you're going to choose that. This is off of our latest album. The album is called Three Fervent Travelers, and the song is Hide and Seek by Imogen Heap. I actually, about 6 years ago, there was a movie that came out, feature film called The Last Kiss, and I was hanging out with my friends, this is back in Philadelphia, and this song came on, and it's the way she records it. If you listen to the original track, she takes her voice and layers it. It's like a thick score. And she manipulates her voice at moments very tastefully through electronic enhancement. But it's basically like a chamber work. When people come hear us is the way Time for Three plays, it's very orchestral sounding. It's hard to realize that there are only three of us playing. And I just, knowing that and our way of phrasing and our sound, I thought that this would be an incredible thing for us to do, for Time for Three to tackle. And we did. And our producer, Steve Hackman, who's also from Curtis, who is our music director right now, he arranged this with us. And we're very proud. And when we released it, it was the track that went viral. All of Imogen Heap's fans caught on to it. And it's been one of our favorite things to do. So it's a great example of this other direction that you see Time for Three heading in.
And getting different audiences.
That's been the cool part.
We're talking to Nick Kendall, violinist with Time for Three. Why don't we hear this track, Hide and Seek?
Thank you.
And we just heard a piece of Hide and Seek, Time for Three. We're talking to Nick Kendall, violinist with that group. They're going to be at the Lenzic tonight at 8 o'clock, part of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. Now, the three of you play together. Sometimes you also do work accompanied by an orchestra?
We're very lucky to collaborate some of the very best in the world. And that's been great. Obviously, a lot of our material is performed and composed by us and Renan, but now we're starting to work with composers. And the Philadelphia Orchestra, Pittsburgh Symphony, and the Wheeling Symphony in West Virginia came together as a consortium and brought on, well, we all decided that Jennifer Higdon would be a great way to kind of work on a new voice for us. And some of the things that we did in the past was kind of celebrate Americana music, fiddle music. And so with Christoph Eschenbach, who was then the music director of Philadelphia Orchestra, we thought it'd be really cool for us to have a piece that kind of celebrates the American heritage that we all love and grew up with listening to. And, you know, it's very standard. In classical music, you have Bartok, who took street music. You had Beethoven, Prokofiev, who took folk music and used the textures and colors and the scope, the awesome power of the orchestra and the experience you have in a concert hall to take this music and celebrate it. And we're very proud of this piece. It's in three movements, a cadenza that connects between, it's like a fiddle cadenza between the first and second movement. And this piece is great because it's celebrating our love of folk music, but it's in a classical context and, of course, working with Grammy Award-winning Jennifer Higdon. The other thing that we've done is Chris Brubeck, who is the son of Dave Brubeck, wrote us a concerto, and we've been playing that. Boston Pops premiered it. We're actually playing it at Carnegie Hall on March 8th, 2012, if anybody's hanging out in New York, with the Boston Pops and Keith Lockhart. But this is it's more of a study in jazz, and we have our own jazz drummer that we bring. And Bill Bolcom is now commissioned to write a piece for us. And we're talking to other composers as well, and very exciting stuff. So we can't wait to, well, Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival doesn't have a festival orchestra, but we'll maybe play it around town sometime.
Yeah, we hope so. Now, fiddle music, let's talk about playing fiddle music. Is this something that you as a violinist grew up playing?
Well, actually, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and WAMU, which is the NPR station, on Sunday afternoons had a bluegrass station. So actually, growing up, I did hear bluegrass. But Zach DePew, our other violinist, was born and grew up in Bowling Green, Ohio. And he has three older brothers who all play violin, and they have what's called the DePew Brother Band. I mean, they're incredible. So besides all of them playing classical music, they did a ton of fiddle music. So they did, bluegrass, Texas-style fiddling, swing fiddling. And so Zach actually has, amongst the three of us, has the most experience in this genre. And when Time for Three was first getting together, around the time of Bach Double, we used to take things like the Orange Blossom Special, which is very famous.
And which we'll hear in a moment.
And we made our own interpretation of that. And in performances, depending on what the program is, Zach sometimes throws in a classical theme. If we're playing with the orchestra, then he'll throw in a theme of a Beethoven Fifth Symphony if the orchestra just played it. So it's really fun, and it's kind of, we usually nowadays end our solo shows with the Orange Blossom Special, and it's been a great kind of salute to the possibilities of having fun in a concert hall from us, and a great way to end our shows. So.
Well, it looks like you're having great fun. There's a lot of humor in the shows that you do. What's it like to go back and forth between classical violin playing and fiddling, or is it integrated?
Well, that's a question often asked to us if people haven't seen us, and it's really one and the same. Like we started out saying, we are artists that grew up improvising from a very young age, but also playing the standard repertoire. So everything, you know, we're playing by ear from a very early age. For us, the way we phrase Hide and Seek has the same intention as we would a Brahms or Mahler, or a Mahler symphony, Brahms symphony, or, you know, Sibelius violin concerto. The thing that has been really cool and really interesting is the fact that each of us have our other careers besides Time for Three. Time for Three is the biggest thing, but I also tour as a solo artist and a chamber artist. And Zach Depew is actually concertmaster of the Indianapolis Symphony. They have two concertmasters. And Renan, he started his own bass camp. He's a composer. He's innovating what the bass can do, going from the back of the band to being a solo personality. But the thing has been so incredible because the band, obviously, Time for Three, breaking down the barriers on stage has been such a great way to kind of, at times, loosen up the experience when playing a sonata or playing more of the classical repertoire. But the immense amount of depth and just subtleties and beauty that classical music and these great composers have built gives so much direction and foundation to the work Time for Three does. So the two have seamlessly gone hand in hand, and for us it's all about music, it's all about expression, blind to division, and yeah, that's pretty much how we see it.
Nick Kendall is violinist along with Zach Depew in Time for Three. The bass player is Renan Meyer. Time for Three is playing tonight at the Lensic. It's part of the Santa Fe Chamber Music Festival. They're also playing next week at Music from Angel Fire on Thursday, the 25th of August at 7 o'clock, and it's at the K-Tau Solar Center in Taos. So let's go out with Orange Blossom Special, and thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Once again, music from Time for Three. They're going to be at the Lensic tonight at 8 o'clock here in Santa Fe. Their website is tf3.com. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Please stay tuned to KSFR.